Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing the heroic comeback made by my very own Northwestern Wildcats, rah, 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 as they were down 20-7 to Iowa over the weekend and came back and won 21-20. So we'll dive into the hot start for Northwestern. We will also be discussing the COVID outbreaks that are happening among college football. Most recently, Clemson's quarterback Trevor Lawrence going down with COVID, having to miss last weekend's game against Boston College, but most importantly, having to miss next weekend's game against top-ranked Notre Dame. Going to be a classic, but obviously not going to be the same without Trevor Lawrence, so we'll talk Clemson, Notre Dame, and then also Wisconsin. RIP Wisconsin, having to cancel its second straight game. This weekend was going to be against Purdue. Both teams undefeated, and it will not be made up. So we'll be discussing what's going to happen to Wisconsin going forward, and if there's a chance that they'll be able to make up games down the stretch. So this college football season has already been one for the ages, I'd say. Kind of a weird start. None of the conferences were going to participate, besides the SEC, of course, and, you know, other notable conferences like ACC. So once those conferences started, then conferences like the Big Ten, Pac-12 were like, oh, wait a second. Oh, let us hop in on that. We went in on some of this college football action. So now everyone's playing, but you have teams postponing games left and right. Most notably, Wisconsin, who have had to cancel their second game in a row, and then Clemson's quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, despite Clemson being able to play, they're going to be without their number one player again. And it's just crazy because I thought for sure with Clemson that they were going to find a way to get Trevor Lawrence to play, because when the original alert came out that he was going to be out with COVID, you know, everyone was like, well, you know, if they're following the ACC protocol of 10 days, then he's not going to be able to play last weekend against Boston College or the weekend after against Notre Dame. But it just said that he was going to be out for Saturday's game against Boston College, which they did win. They were down 28-10, but they did get the job done, winning by the skin of their teeth at the end. Boston College with an unbelievable effort, being able to cover that 25-point spread, which was originally like 40 when Trevor Lawrence was still projected to play. So RIP to anyone that had a Clemson minus 40. That's why you don't pick spreads in advance, ladies and gentlemen. Don't pick spreads 3 days in advance, especially during COVID season. You never know what's going to happen. But it's just crazy because now you have probably the biggest game of the year, one of them at least, against Clemson and Notre Dame. And it sucks that Lawrence isn't going to play, but at the end of the day, we can't be mad about it as fans, because the fact that they're able to play during our COVID season is already against the odds. So you have to take what you can get. It's still going to be a great game. Clemson's backup quarterback is no slouch. He's huge. He's a freshman, a true freshman. So, you know, Clemson's definitely going to be in the game. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, with Trevor Lawrence being out, that gives Notre Dame all the momentum that they need going into Saturday's matchup. So definitely going to be a different matchup, but no excuses. You know, with having Dabo Swinney on the sidelines, I feel like your team is never out of it. And he's a coach that, you know, he's acting like, you know, nothing's wrong, I assume. You know, they're coming out with a new scheme. So Clemson's going to be ready to play. They obviously still have a defense, so, you know, and weapons on offense. So they're going to be fine, but I think Notre Dame might take this without Trevor Lawrence. We'll see what the line comes out as before they play, but definite storyline here. You know, Trevor Lawrence will be back after that, barring any setbacks. But, you know, RIP to whoever took Trevor Lawrence as the Heisman, as he was going to win easily this year, but is no longer the favorite after missing two straight games. So also probably not the best idea to bet futures bets with COVID going on, because you never know. All it takes is someone missing, you know, a game or two, and that's all it takes. So it's sad to see that, you know, COVID is affecting teams. You know, I think the saddest story now is Wisconsin with their new rookie or freshman quarterback, Mertz, I believe, or is it Matt's? One of the two. I probably misspelled both of them. But they got off to such a good start with that win over Illinois. And you thought, okay, Wisconsin, you know, I didn't hear a lot about Wisconsin coming into the year. I mean, they're always solid, but I definitely didn't hear about this quarterback for Wisconsin. I don't think anybody did, but there he was, first game against Illinois, and he's throwing tutties like it's nobody's. He completed his first, I want to say, 17 passes. The record was 17, and of course he couldn't complete it for 18 of 18. But it's all forgotten now because they haven't been able to play since with having the COVID outbreaks. His name's Graham Mertz, by the way. Mertz. So I don't even remember if I got it right the first time, but Graham Mertz is his name. But, you know, they couldn't play last week. And, you know, everyone's okay, you know, that's 1 week, you know, versus Nebraska, where it's like, okay, you know, nothing in the world. But now they're going to go up against a Purdue team that's 2-0 this weekend. So, you know, it was going to be a primetime matchup, but unfortunately that's not going to happen. And they said that the Big Ten came out and said that they're not going to make up the game. So, I mean, does this mean that is this going to affect them, like, for, like, the Big Ten championship purposes, for bowl games, if there even are bowl games this year? I don't even know if there are bowl games this year. Someone was just asking me, oh, is there going to be bowl games? I think it was my dad. He was asking me, are there going to be bowl games this year? I'm like, I mean, I think so. But at the same time, you know, or the NCAA isn't, you know, having any out-of-conference games. So it's, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they've even decided yet. What I would do is, you know, I would schedule to have the bowl games. And obviously, if things are too bad, just don't have them. But maybe right now, obviously, you know, I think people are just worried about getting on the field and playing at this point. But it's sad to see a team like, you know, Wisconsin, where at the end of the day, I don't know if, you know, it was one guy not following the social distance guidelines or if it was a full team. You know, it's hard to know with these things. Obviously, we're never going to really know. But despite the fact there's 30 cases on their team, yeah, they can't play. And that's just the world we live in today. You know, it's, you know, with sports being on, it sucks as a fan, you know, for your teams or players not to play because of COVID. But at the end of the day, the fact that we're, as I said before, even playing right now is incredible. So you have to take what you can get. But I do feel for Wisconsin fans, as, I mean, I'm not a Wisconsin fan myself, but from a football fan, you can see that they had so much promise this year. So let's hope that these two games don't affect them down the line and that they're able to play going forward. The Northwestern Wildcats really made my weekend. They were down 20-7 to an Iowa team that has not lost two games to start off their season since early 2000s. And right away, you know, it was such a classic Northwestern start. It was a drop punt return where Iowa had the ball on their own or on Northwestern's 2-yard line. An interception early by Iowa, you know, really looking like they were going to cruise through that game. But it was Northwestern with the grit, Pat Fitzgerald's grit that I've been waiting for from 2 years ago showed up. So 2 years ago, Northwestern finally made it to their first ever Big Ten championship, losing to Ohio State, but, you know, beating Utah in a bowl game. You know, really for the last 6 or 7 years, Northwestern has really been competitive, competing for that top spot in their division. But last year, obviously, they only won about one or two games. It was a really disappointing season. So I had no idea what to expect this year. They get a grad transfer quarterback Ramsey from Indiana. Has a pretty good resume, but obviously, I don't know too much about him. Northwestern had, you know, big five-star recruit last year from Clemson, a transfer from Clemson come in, didn't really get the job done. He's still on the team, but you know, I was worried. I was like, well, what are we going to do with him? But we got this transfer quarterback, which is great because, yeah, he's only here for a year, but, you know, for, you know, he's able to, you know, provide a leadership role on that team. They still have, you know, a great defense led by Fitzgerald, not the coach, a different Fitzgerald, but, you know, he's been here forever. You know, they're running back and Isaiah Bowser, wide receiver, and Riley Lees, some of my buddy's favorite player, as he's from, as they're both from Libertyville High School. So really solid squad, and just the grit they had at the end of that game, getting that key interception at the end of the game, and beating a good Iowa team on the road. With Northwestern winning their first game by Maryland by 40, and then having Maryland beat Minnesota last weekend, it looks really good for Northwestern. So they look legit this year. They play Nebraska this weekend, which actually, you know, they're only 4-point favorites right now, but, you know, definitely don't want to look over that game, as Nebraska didn't look terrible against Ohio State the other weekend. So don't want that to be a trap game for Northwestern, but starting off the season 2-0, you can't ask anything else from a Wildcats team. And obviously, you know, led by a coach in Fitzgerald, you always have a shot, especially on defense, and Northwestern showed that they're a force to be reckoned with in the Big Ten this year.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hay?
My Riddle's rant of the week this week is going to go to all the Tony La Russa haters out there from Chicago White Sox fans. I know that this guy wasn't, you know, the most, I don't even know how to put it. You know, he obviously wasn't the front, you know, what people thought the front runner for the job. People wanted AJ Hinch, that, and of course, ended up going to our division rival, the Detroit Tigers. But La Russa does have a good resume. And yes, people think, you know, he's too old. He's 77, you know, might be on his deathbed. But he's coming back to coach the Chicago White Sox. And he's with a young group that obviously people think is going to be a problem because, you know, he's not going to let them do their thing. But I had a great conversation with baseball insider Miles Wallin last week on the fact that, you know, maybe this is a good thing for the White Sox. Maybe Tony La Russa will let them do their thing. You know, it's a young team. He'll let them, you know, do their, you know, their dances, their showboating, yada, yada. But he's also going to tolerate, you know, he's going to have a no BS toleration on his team. So, you know, he wants to, you know, he's there to win. And yeah, you know, people are saying that he's only there because he has good ties with the owner and Reinsdorf. But I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, maybe that's so. Maybe that's a big reason why he's on the team. But maybe it's one of the best hirings we've had. Maybe he leads them to the promised land. And I'm just saying right now, you know, he has a pretty good track record. Yes, it's on the St. Louis Cardinals team that nobody likes. But obviously, whatever he did in St. Louis, it worked. And so he has great in-game managing decisions, which is something that Ricky Renteria really didn't have. You know, it's funny. Ricky Renteria was just actually nominated for Coach of the Year. So, of course, the White Sox was really awkward. They came out on Twitter and tagged him and whatnot after they fired him. Kind of reminds me of the Dwayne Casey situation when the Raptors fired him. And then he went to the Pistons, but right after they fired him, he won Coach of the Year. So kind of weird there. But at the end of the day, Ricky blew it in the playoffs. You know, he blew it with his in-game management, with his pitchers. I was always kind of questioning, you know, his lineup wasn't always the best, I felt like. So maybe Tony La Russa can clean that up. And you know what? If he dies in the dugout, he dies in the dugout. But if he can bring us back to the playoffs and bring us to a World Series, it's going to suck for all you White Sox fans right now that are doubting him and then hop on the train later.
G-Force Spotlight of the Week.
My G-Force Spotlight of the Week definitely has to go to my Northwestern Wildcats. I know I've talked about them a lot on the show this week, but they just really made my weekend. Once they were down, I didn't think they had a chance to come back, but they proved all of us wrong. You know, they proved the haters wrong. They're right there in the Big Ten. The Cats are back.
promises made, promises delivered. Northwestern Wildcats is legit this year, and it just made my weekend knowing that I have a lot of Northwestern football to get watching. My flick of the week this week is going to go to Breaking Bad. This week I decided to fully rewatch the, or, you know, start to fully rewatch the full Breaking Bad series. It's been a grind lately. I've been trying to find a new show. I feel like I've watched all of them. So I had to go back to the classics. And, you know, I've tried rewatching Breaking Bad once before. You know, I got through a couple seasons. And I think I'm going to stick with it this time because I'm almost done with season one after a couple days. I forget, you know, how freaking good this show is. It's one of those shows where you go back and you're like, wow, pretty much the whole first season was, you know, an intro into the actual show, you know, because this, a good show, you know, really doesn't almost start until the second season or third season starts, because then, you know, once like that giant introduction's gone, you know, they enter into, you know, the complexity of the show, and Breaking Bad does just that. The first season is unbelievable, not trashing it at all. It's just, you know, there's a lot of characters that aren't in it after that for the long haul. Whereas, you know, once you reach some characters in the second and third season, that they're in it for a longer period of time. So 50 different plots going on, ultimately all leading back to the one and only Heisenberg. I really recommend, I assume mostly everyone's seen it, but if you haven't, please, for the love of God, start Breaking Bad. You will not be able to turn it off. Top three show of all time. One of my favorite shows to the end of time, I believe. My bet of the week this week, I'm taking it to the Champions League that's going on tomorrow. I got a three-team parlay. I am taking Manchester United. They play at noon. And then I'm also taking Chelsea and Sevilla. Three heavy favorites. But three teams, I believe, is going to get it done. It's been awesome watching Champions League lately. I've been watching a lot of it along with Europa. Great way to start off your day. And, you know, to keep busy during the day when you want to lock in some early soccer bets. Another parlay that I'm taking tomorrow, a little more risky, but I like it. I think it's sexy. I have PSG, who are plus 160. And I'm also taking Dortmund, who's minus 158. Lower favorite, but still should get the job done. I'm liking both those parlays, but the main parlay that I am featuring is the Manchester United, Chelsea, and Sevilla. Lock it in, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for my favorite segment on the show, the Fichtner Cup Week 8. Overview for the best fantasy football league in the world. It was a crazy week. I say that a lot. I feel like every week's crazy in fantasy because so much is just going on and it always seems to come down to the last game. But we had a couple of huge victories going around in the league this week. And I want to start it off with my roommate, two-time defending champion, Big Daddy for three, Kyle Coughlin. Coming out with a huge win this week over the bailouts. It was a, you know, I predicted Coughlin was going to win, or was going to put up 130. Definitely didn't do that. Getting an 88.54 victory over the bailouts, who put up 73.82. Really struggling week this week for the bailouts. You know, no one really coming to play. It was, you know, When your two running backs and your two starting receivers don't get over 10 points, it's not going to be a good week. And that's exactly what happened for the bailouts, as Zeke, Ronald Jones, Moore, and Anderson did not produce. Coughlin luckily has someone that's named Mr. Patrick Mahomes, putting up 36 points, really banking out his running back situation where Le'Veon Bell and Tevin Coleman only combined for 7 points, which is troublesome. But nonetheless, Coughlin got the dub. He is now 4-4, looking for a resurgence in this league, trying to go for his third championship in a row. With Michael Thomas looming in the air, getting DeAndre Hopkins back next week, along with David Johnson, Coughlin is right where he wants to be. He would love to have, you know, some more running back depth, that's for sure, so we'll see if he makes any moves.
Towards the end of the season, you know, we're already right there. We are towards the end of the season, but, you know, we still have 4 weeks left of the regular season. So we'll see what he can do in the next 4 weeks. But 4-4, if you were to tell Kaufman that he was going to be 4-4, by the way, his team has been getting injured, he will definitely take that. Bailouts are going to be just fine. Definitely going to have to find their groove. Couple tough losses for them. The last couple weeks, losing two in a row, but, you know, still having a 5-3 record looks sexy right now, but definitely going to have to turn around for the weeks to come for the bailouts. Let's go over to another division matchup between the Suicune Saloon and Minneapolis Mike Caputos. The Caputos really taking a stumble, losing its third in a row, only putting up 83 points this week, getting the L to the Saloons, 120.28 is what they produced. Really solid week for the Saloons. You know, not having Aaron Jones again, having Kyler Murray on bye, not the, and along with Antonio Gibson, not really the way you want to start off a week. But they were bailed out by a Kamara and Gio Bernard performance, both putting up 20 points. And of course, Metcalf getting 34.1. It was sad to hear that George Kittle will now be out for the next 8 weeks. So definitely going to have to go shopping for a tight end. But the Saloons moving to 7-1 in this year's race to the Fichtner Cup. His best start in 6 years. So really looking to take the next step, advancing to the playoffs and competing for that championship. But taking 1 week at a time here, as you really have to in this league, as you know, each team that you play, especially having a better record, is going to give you everything they got. So you can't take any week for granted. Fernando going to 3-5, heading into almost must-win territory at this point. You know, sometimes you can get into the playoffs going 6-6. I think in this league, there might be a, you know, a spot where you can be 500 and make it in. So pretty much Nano's going to have to win the next 3 out of 4 games to have a good shot at making the playoffs, with teams like Nasser, Surging, who are now 4-4, who I'm getting to next here on the list. So must-win territory for Nano, but, you know, a team as explosive as his players can produce, never can count Nano out. I can't gas you up as much as you would prefer this week, Nano, nor that I know that you know that, you know, really deserve it this week after that lackluster performance, but you are still a team with hype. Don't get me wrong, but you are in must-win territory. Going into a McGee's Human Centipede matchup against rival Ethan Holman, both 3-4 in this matchup, both needing a win, but it was Nasser getting his third win in a row with a thropping 133.9 to 89.56 victory. Dalvin Cook, the player of the week in all leagues with 47.6 points. Russell Wilson giving him a 28.74 spot, along with the Brandon Ayuk garbage time touchdown, but also getting 8 receptions, 91 yards, getting 20 there. But it was Dalvin Cook, as I said before, that really pushed the Centipedes ahead this week. You know, he was asking where the podcast was today. Nasser was. So here it is. You know, you deserve it. You've won 3 in a row. You know, I've questioned your locker room performance throughout the year, but it looks like you have found a spark. And being 4-4 now, right in the thick of the playoff mix, it's pretty amazing, you know, seeing you can never give up in this league. And Nasser, even with his back against the wall, is right back to where he needs to be. And is now going up against, you know, a Saloons team next week where it's a primetime matchup. The McGee's versus Saloons, a matchup you don't want to miss next week. Two surging teams. It kind of reminds me of like an NCAA tournament where the one seed, you know, is taking on the 8 or 9 seed in the second round. Always a dangerous matchup. And, you know, that's just right where we're at right now. So really, you know, already countering right now the Saloons are for next week's matchup against the Centipedes, already doing its scouting, as I assume McGee's is doing the same. But congratulations on a huge win against Holman. The whole league loved to see it. And Holman, taking a Holman team that was 1-4, that was then 3-4, now pushing him to 3-5, is also in must-win territory. You know, has time to do so with the division leader and Luke Boyd losing to Big Sam this week, as I'm going to get into that next. But huge win for the Centipedes, as taking all of Holman's momentum away. He's going to have to find it again. You know, interesting quarterback. You know, is he going to start Big Ben or Joe Burrow next week? We're not sure. It sucks that he's losing Mike Davis, but he does have McCaffrey, so which obviously cancels out. But it really comes down to, you know, his wide receivers. Will, you know, will Fuller produce next week if he starts him? What will Melvin Gordon bring to the table? Waller's been slacking. You know, starting Waller and Gronkowski, a pretty bold move, putting Gronk in the flex, having to start two tight ends. But not a lot. You know, hopefully Joe Mixon will come back healthy. You know, that'd be huge for Holman. But he's gonna have to find a way the next couple of weeks to get back on track, or it's going to be too late. It's going to be his first Freak Bowl playoff appearance if he does not get it together right now. The next matchup I want to get into is the upset of the week. We had Big Sam with a 100.36 victory over the 69ers, featuring Nick and Madison, who had 92.16. It came down to the last game Monday night, the Giants against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Boyd had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where Big Sam had Mike Evans. Mike Evans with a huge touchdown at the end of the game, giving Mike Evans 14. Tampa Bay was right there at the end, but only managed to get 6 points as the Giants were able to score on the last possession. It might have been already a little too late for Luke. He needed a pick six on the final drive and wasn't able to get it. Huge win for Big Sam. You know, being 2-6 in the East Division, still only 2 games out of first place, with Luke being in first, being 4-4. Kind of a crazy division. You have Luke Boyd at 4-4, Nasser at 4-4, Holman at 3-5, Kuhn at 2-6, and you, of course, have Big Ticket coming in at 1-7. So everyone still, you know, have playoff chances. But Big Sam, you know, finally getting that victory. He's been putting up pretty decent numbers the last few weeks. So it was good to see him finally getting a win. Really, you know, disappointing loss for Boyd. You know, obviously struggling with Cooper Kupp being on bye, along with B. Scott and Austin Eckler on the IR. But there's really no excuses at this point in the season. Everyone's dealing with injuries. So we'll see if he can bounce back next week. Being 4-4, you know, that, you know, you're fine for now, but you're still in must-win territory, as a couple losses here, you're looking at falling out of the last playoff spot. So Boyd's going to have a huge bounce-back week next week. We'll see if he can do it. But Big Sam, can never count Big Sam out. You know, he's been found. You know, he's starting his lineup recently. So will Big Sam add some scares at the end of the year? We will see. But ultimately, a huge win for him. Luke's going to have to step it up next week. For our final matchup of week number 8, we have about that action with a thropping win over Big Ticket, Dan Fernow's Vegas Sun, 117.42 to 67.14. This was never really a game. Tyreek giving Ticket some life early with 23, but Amari Cooper, Harrison Bryant, and Deontay Johnson only combining for 4.1 points. Along with Robbie Gould and New England only combined for 6, that's just not going to get it done. About the action with the usual performance from him, you know, having Robert Woods score 24.9. And Philly D, a huge 21-point spot, along with Younghoo Koo, Mr. Consistent Koo, Young Ho, giving him 13. So really no problems there about the action, moving to 7-1, tied with the Saloons for the division lead. I guess the Saloons do have the division lead because of the head-to-head record. But ultimately that, you know, the Saloons, about that action, division race, and for the number one seed is going to come down to the end. So every week's a must-win for anybody, despite where you are in the standings. So you got to take it 1 week at a time. But that's just what about that action is doing. You know, he's going through his, you know, his daily Balthet action reps, and he's just getting it done. You know, great to see that the hype's paying off this year. And of course, you know, he's looking to continue that right into the playoffs. We're now going to move into the end of week 8, start of week 9, power rankings, what we've all been waiting for, what the world's been waiting for. And the number 10, we'll start off with Dan Fernando's Vegas Sun, big ticket. A big ticket, 1-7 in this league, never finding his groove this year. Going to be a tough end of the year for Ticket. So let's hope he can manage a couple wins end the season. But it's been a rough go for Ticket, being stuck in that 10th spot now. Once again, as Big Sam moving into the number 9 spot in the league, was number 10 last week, deservingly so. But he is now number 9. He's surging. You know, as I said, you can't count Big Sam out, as he is now found and apparently setting his lineup. So a dangerous team to reckon with. Around. No one wants to play Big Sam. As you know, his with the starting lineup, his team is not half bad. At number 8, we have Mr. Ethan Holman. Tough loss against Nashville this week, both being 3-4, both needing a dub. But it was the Human Centipedes getting that thropping victory with led by Dalvin Cook. That's putting Ethan in the 8 hole as we speak. You know, 8 sounds low, but with 4 weeks left to go, a lot can happen in those 4 weeks. So you can't count Ethan Holman out either. But he is now in must-win territory. I think must-win's the word of the day. But it's just the witching hour in fantasy football right now. Every game's a must-win. So that leads me into number 7 with Mr. Mike Nasser. Nasser with a huge win over Holman this week, getting to 4-4 on a 3-game winning streak, going into a matchup with the Saloons next week. He's right where he wants to be, you know, after almost, you know, losing his season early, but he's found his locker room voice. And he's a force to be reckoned with in this league. At number 6, we have Minneapolis Mike Caputo's. You know what? I hate to do this to you, Nato, but we're actually switching this. Nick Fornato is actually in at number 7. You know, the first ever Riddle Me That live switch. You know, I did my math wrong, but Nick Fornato is actually dropped to the 7 hole, losing 3 games in a row. And falling out of that playoff spot, he's going to need that production back from his running backs and Josh Jacobs and Clyde's Edwards-Helaire. And if they don't find their groove, he's going to be finding himself in a freak bowl, you know, potential spot. So he's at 7. We have Mr. Mike Nasser at 6. Nasser's at 6 instead of 7 in the playoffs right now. Like I said, huge win against Holman. So sorry for the drama here, but Nato, you are at 7, and McGee's Human Centipede, you are at 6. At number 5, we have Mr. Luke Boyd. Luke with a tough loss to Big Sam this week, having a chance to put some separation in the division, but not able to do it, letting Nasser back into the door, is landing Luke a number 5 spot this week, dropping a spot in the power rankings. You know, he's not going to be happy with this. He's not happy about a lot of things these days. You know, tends to complain a little bit in the group chat. Never really satisfied with what the group is saying. But, Luke, you're still in the playoffs right now. You're still right there. But you can't afford losses to Big Sam at this point in the season. So, last week hurts, but you got to keep fighting and you will find your way into the playoffs. At number 4, we have Big Daddy for 3. Huge win over the Bailouts this week, who are the number 3 team in the power rankings. Huge statement win for Coughlin, finding himself right back in that playoff mix, going from 3-4 to 4-4. He'll look to keep it going against Big Sam next week, the team that no one wants to play. So we'll see if Big Daddy for 3 can keep it riding, or if Big Sam has other ideas for week 9. At number 3, we have the Dotson Bailouts hanging on for their dear life right now. Kind of a wild season for the Bailouts, starting off 0-1 and then winning 5 straight. He has now lost 2 in a row, not putting up a lot of numbers. So he's solid in that 3 hole right now, being 5-3. But another loss next week, another victory by either Luke, Nasser, or Coughlin will result in a drop in the power rankings. At number 2, we have about that action. Another solid performance last week against Big Ticket. Easy dubs for About That Action, keeping that hype running. Unfortunately, his one loss is to the number 1 team in the power rankings once again, the Sukun Saloon, who is coming in at 7-1. riding a 2-game win streak after that loss to the bailouts a couple weeks back, which just shows how tight this West Division is right now. To put that in perspective, we have the Sioux Coon Saloon and about that action coming in at 7-1, tied for first. The bailouts in third coming at 5-3. And then you have Big Daddy for 3 at 4-4 and Notto at 3-5. Super tight division here. Definitely going to come down to the final week. So it's going to be interesting how the results spill out for the next weeks to come. This is why we do it, ladies and gentlemen. This is why this section's on the podcast. There's nothing like teams trying to battle for that final fantasy football playoff spot. And it's right upon us. It's must-win territory for everybody at this point in the season, which leads us into our Week 9 matchups. And I want to start with a team that needs a win, is dying for a win, and that's the Dotson Bailouts against Dan Fernandez, Vegas Sun. Big ticket, can't buy a win this year. But this is a game the Bailouts got to win. You know, you want to create some separation in this league. You want to go 6-3. You don't want to be 5-4 and have, a must-win scenario for the last couple weeks. So I think the Bailouts get it done this week. You know, coming off 2 straight losses, they're looking for a statement win here. Yes, it's against a team that's 1-7, but it doesn't matter at this point. You take wins, however you get them. I think the Bailouts get a 110-89 victory this week over Big Ticket. Let's take it over to one of the matchup of the week. Next week, we have Big Daddy for 3 taking on Big Sam, both projected neck and neck. I'm going to have to take Big Daddy for 3 in this matchup. You know, Big Sam trying to, have a miracle comeback to end the season. But I think the experience with Big Daddy for 3 in his championships, he knows how to win when it counts. And this is a must-win week for Big Daddy. You know, he wants to go 5-4. You don't want to go 4-5, having to fight for that last playoff spot in the next couple weeks. So I'm taking Big Daddy for 3 in this matchup. And I say he wins by a solid 10 points. You know, I'm predicting 115 out of Big Daddy to a 105 Big Sam. Another big matchup here. Every matchup is big next week now that I'm looking at it. Every week is huge. This might be the craziest week ever in fantasy football. We have About That Action taking on Ethan Holman. Holman needs a statement win here. You cannot go 3-6 at this point in the league. We'll see. You know, Joe Burrow, I talked about earlier, I didn't realize Joe Burrow was on bye, so he will be most likely starting Big Ben against Dallas next week, so he's going to have to be huge. I think, as much as I don't want to do this, I'm calling a Ethan Holman upset next week over About That Action. It hurts me to say it. I'm all about the About That Action hype. But there's just something about a 3-5 Holman team that, scares me. For a team that, like About That Action, that is 7-1, hasn't had any losses this year except the Saloons. So kind of due for a loss here. And with a team that's, a desperate team right now needing a win, Ethan Holman, I think Holman grinds out a close victory. I'm saying an 100-98 victory going to Ethan Holman. I'm sorry, Luke. I don't want to do it. It has to be done. Another matchup of the week here, we have the Sioux Coon Saloon going up against, I don't know why that was so delayed with this, it's not written, it says Saloon on my screen, so not Saloons, but the Sioux Coon Saloons going up against the hottest team in the league right now, and McGee's Human Centipede, who have now won 3 straight. It's going to be a barn burner, but I'm sorry, McGee's, the Saloons are going to get it done. They're scouting, they're countering, they know what to expect. And you know what? We are excited to play a team that's coming in hot. It's a good test for the Saloons going into the playoffs. And you're coming off, a Saloons team with Murray that's rested, Gibson's rested. There's going to be no Aaron Jones and no George Kittle, which is definitely a down spot. But we're going to find guys. We're going to find guys, and they're going to come through. It's going to be close, though. It's going to be a battle against the McGee's. It's going to be a heavily tested week, but the Saloons will be ready. They are going to get a 5-point victory, 111-106 over the McGee's Human Centipede. For the last matchup of the week, we have a 69ers team going up against a Minneapolis Mike Caputo's team. A big rivalry here. Both like to go at each other and talk a lot of shit. This is a statement win for both teams right here. If Luke can get a victory here over Minneapolis, it really hurts the Caputos' chance of making that last playoff spot. But if the Caputos win, they're right back in it, and they have the same record as the 69ers. Going to be really interesting this week to see what side or what division gets a lot of W's. We could be seeing a lot of 4-5 teams. We could be seeing a lot of 5-4 teams. But ultimately, I think that Minneapolis, Mike Caputos, gets it done over the 69ers. I think the 69ers, you know, coming off a loss to Big Sam, that's got to hurt. But you're playing a Minneapolis, Mike Caputos team that is desperate for a win. They're in a must-win situation. I think Clyde and Josh Jacobs have good games. And I say they win by 1 point. A 125-124 victory for the Minneapolis Mike Caputos, moving them and the commissioner's team to 4-5 apiece. That's all the time we have today on the Real Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Despite all the sports going on right now, the main thing that you should be doing is voting, as the election is tonight. And we're going to figure out who the leader of our country is for the next 4 years. So exciting but scary times. Get out there and vote. Do your job as a citizen. It is not that hard. I hope everybody has a good rest of your week. And I will see you guys same time next week. Riddle Daddy is out.